Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Pastor Malupa, good afternoon to you, sir.
My elder, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Very well, thank you, man. It's been a minute, eh? How are you doing?
Yeah. It's been a while. No, the Lord has been good to us.
Yeah, man. The Lord indeed has been good. I hope that you have been keeping well and that the sheep are under great care there.
Yes, we have been kept under His grace and His mercies. And a very good afternoon to your listeners as well.
Lovely. Today, in fact, this week, we are talking about life, death, and resurrection of the Messiah. And, you know, in these types of conversations, we often begin speaking on the life of Jesus, when He was miraculously conceived in the woman, or in the womb of a woman born in a virgin, as it were. But today we want to take it back an eternity prior, even before what we would like to call the beginning. Let's start off with the life of Christ before the entry into this world through Mary. What did that look like?
Man, hey, you know, when I received this brief, I thought to myself, these guys want to have a very technical conversation. And I'm going to tell you why. It's because, you know, the Bible struggles to reveal Christ's form throughout the Old Testament prior to the beginning. So when even after the beginning, the Bible still struggles to reveal how what His form is. I'll give you examples. When Moses opens the canon, he says, "Bereshit bara." That's a very big problem because he uses a term so that the audience may be able to understand, but the audience is looking at the Ra that they know from Egypt, who is already taken that name at around that time, who that Ra, that God is now called Ra. And yet Moses is trying to say, in beginning, God created. And now the prefix bar is like the one that is used in the New Testament when it talks about Bartimaeus, meaning the son of. So the prefix bar means the son of, and he uses the term Ra so that he can say God, not referring to the Egyptian God, referring to Jehovah God. So he says, Bereshit bara, in beginning, the Son of God created. So when we look at the revelation of Christ in the Old Testament, we struggle from the very first verse. Because in the very first verse, Moses says, it was the Son of God, the Son of Jehovah, who created. He says, when he began, well, we're not there. This one is just there for free. When he created, Bereshit means in beginning, not in the beginning. It means in beginning, meaning that when he created, so that it can say when the action of creating was taking place, right?
Which was not necessarily the beginning.
Yes. Not necessarily that this was the beginning, but that the action of the beginning of this particular project, right? When that took place, then he begins to talk about who created, and he says it was the Son of God who created, and then he continues to talk about other things. But now I'm trying to show you how the Old Testament struggles to reveal Christ to us. You'll remember that.
So hang on, before you get to that. So why is it such a struggle then to translate this if it's so straightforward? I mean, if it says in beginning, bara created surely that's not so difficult to actually translate.
It's not so difficult.
So it means that there is a problem, that it may actually not be the case.
Sorry, say that again.
Is there a chance that it's not like that? It's not translated as such because maybe it's not the case after all.
I don't know if I'm getting you well. Maybe it's not the case that it was not Bara who created.
Because if he had created, it should have been plainly stated like that for everyone to understand.
But that's what Moses is saying, that because when you read it in the Hebrew, it says exactly that. It says Bereshit, which means in beginning, Bara, which means the Son of God. Then it continues that he created, right? So the situation is such that when we look at it, we skim over the top.
Mm-hmm.
We don't necessarily go deep into the text to understand what the text is saying. We skim over the top that, no, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and everything is fine. We forget that when it says, in the beginning, God created, this bara is also God.
Hang on. So are you saying that this Ra, who is known as to be a sun god of Egypt, is in fact Yahweh?
No. So that's what I was trying to distinguish at the very beginning. That Moses uses the term Ra was a general term for, even like today we say God, right? And then, but you can only distinguish when you are seeing the writing. That is, it a small G or a big G? We are supposed to be calling him by his rightful name, Jehovah or Yahweh, you know, or Elohim, or so that we can say which God are we talking about, right? So Moses uses a general term to say, in the beginning, the Son of God, which is Bara, right? To say that he is the one who created. Now, when he is talking like that, remember I mentioned the audience as well. Now, one of the issues that Moses is facing is, remember when he asks on Mount Sinai, who shall I say has sent me? And then God says to him, tell them I am has sent me. Because the understanding of the Jew, of the Hebraic mind, is that it is taboo to actually pronounce or say out the actual name of God. So it is taboo to say Yahweh in public. It is taboo to say Jehovah in public. It was not something that you could generally be speaking or pronouncing or saying it in the presence of everyone. So when he's writing to the Hebraic audience that is coming from slavery, he's also trying to accommodate the understanding, number one, of a slave mentality, but number two, of whom this God is, who is the one who created everything.
Yeah, complex stuff. I must tell you, not very easy at all. Not easy at all. Now, why did he choose to leave that glory behind and come and live among a sinful crowd like us? I mean, it was not necessary, truly, because, I mean, that could have been achieved even in his abode. Nothing is impossible with God.
Beautiful, beautiful question. So a few things take place there. One of the things is in the way that the chronology of things are supposed to take place, the revelation of Christ in his physical form is disturbed by a few things. Firstly, the time that has been put in place for him to come is 4,000 after the fall, 4,000 years after the fall. So now the devil is looking for him, right? And what necessitates for him to come, maybe let me start there, is that there is a need for justice to be fulfilled. Justice wants a payment. So in the whole sphere of creation, God creates an accounting system that says, should 1, 2, and 3 happen, then 1, 2, and 3 must take place to balance the books. There must be the books must always balance. There must never be a time when the books do not balance. So if sin takes place, Paul says the wages of sin is death. The books must always balance. So what then takes place is Christ's necessity to come to earth is because justice says, for sin must be paid for. sin is not right. It is creating a debt. And when that debt is there, then there must be a payment. So what then takes place is God then comes down and in the typology study, he comes down, he kills the type of Christ, which is a lamb, so that the blood can spill. And it pays a temporary, a temporary payment, but you are actually paying for interest. You are not paying the actual debt. So it pays the temporary thing and waits for the time to be right 4,000 years later. Mm. Now, one of the reasons is that the devil has always wanted to kill Christ.
Mm-hmm.
When in the Garden of Eden, the devil looks around and he thinks one of these two is Christ. So if I make both of them to sin, I'm done. And he succeeds with Eve, and then Eve then succeeds with Adam. But he's not done. Things don't come together the way that he thought they will come together. And then he continues after sin. He says, yeah, now that there is sin, and when during the negotiations, chapter 2, chapter 3, God said that there's going to come a son from this woman. So, which means I must look out, because actually Christ was supposed to be Adam, and Christ is not Adam because things are still the same. So now it means that Christ will come from Adam. And so he waits until Cain and the twins, Cain and Abel, came. And that still was a big challenge, because even though he deceives Cain and Cain kills Abel, he still has not found the Christ. The necessity of Christ to come was so that he can pay for the debt. And the devil was looking for that payment not to be made, so that the payment can be marred. There was an issue a couple of months back. They were saying they found the cows that have no blemish, and it was a whole big thing. It's because Christ had to come, and he needs not to have blemish. So Christ is the sacrifice that comes through a womb, and the womb that we thought is dirty, Christ comes through that womb, but not like every man comes. He comes by a miracle, by divine intervention, and so that he is not touched by the blemish of the normal nature of sin of men to come to earth. So that when we count the people who are blemished by sin, even at birth, we can't count him, because his was a miraculous birth. So that when he goes to the cross, he is a sacrifice without blemish. So the necessity for him to come was to pay for that sin in that particular way.
Mm. Yeah. Now, how do we know that Jesus is God? There is that claim. How do we know that?
That we don't know. We're not sure that he is God.
We are not sure.
We are always sure, because, you know, I'm going to elaborate on this tomorrow, but let me give you a synopsis a little bit.
All
you
right.
know, when Jesus is born, all the coordinates, the time and the actual coordinate, geographical coordinates, are given to the devil, and he still does not see it. Look, it's the Bible, the devil claims to be the bright star, yet when you look at the time of Jesus's birth, the bright star is pointing to where Christ is going to be born. And then the other coordinate, that star was pointing the to the time when he was going to be born. But here's the other coordinate of the actual geographical location. It says that in Bethlehem. Now, the word, Bethlehem means the house of bread. So Christ was, the devil was supposed to have known that it's unnecessary to kill boys or anybody there in Judea and the other places close to Jerusalem. It was unnecessary for him to kill all the Jewish boys there, because the geographical location had been given that he will be, the Emmanuel will be born in Beit Lechem, in a place for bread. Now, remember that the reason why this is a geographical location, pin location, is that it is telling him that the bread of life will come from the house of bread. So he was supposed to have known from that time that this is going to take place here at this particular point. Yet he doesn't see it. He doesn't understand it. He doesn't foresee it. It just evades him completely. And so it becomes a problem for him to see it. But when you look deeper into the matter, you'll realize that he has always been looking for Christ and the code that was given and understood by the prophets, understood by the scholars, understood by the priests, and those who, Amos 3 verse 7 says, surely the sovereign Lord does nothing without revealing his plans to his servants, the prophets. That it was understood, the code was understood by human beings, but the devil couldn't understand it.
You know what? We've got to wrap it here because there is a lot that's coming out, but I'm glad that you're saying you've got to be covering this tomorrow extensively. Yep. So I'm actually looking forward to that. But I think for today, Mfundisi, we can actually just park it there, after which we are then going to be getting in and delving deeper into this study tomorrow. So for today, I really do want to thank you for coming through.
Man, you're blowing up my phone. The pastors are busy sending me messages here with fire emojis.
That's all right, Pastor. We're looking forward to definitely joining you tomorrow as we are delving deep, because we really do want to know. In fact, you gave us a very exciting concepts there, the beginning, etc., and all of that, and he created this, that, and the other. But we really do want you now to just delve in a little more deeper, as you say you were going to be doing that. So looking forward to that. Otherwise, have a good afternoon.
Thank you so much. God bless, and we'll talk tomorrow.
Lovely. Thank you so much.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Yes, powered by the SID Media. It is now 11 minutes before the hour, 4 o'clock. Fantastic conversation there. If you missed it, do make sure that you catch it on our podcasts.
Have you missed out on any interesting discussions from Adventist World Radio SID Media? Simply go to www.sidmedia.org to listen to all podcasts and previous shows. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.